Blog Talk Radio.
Lord of the breakthrough, Lord of the
Only you, Jesus. Only you, Lord. We stand in awe of you tonight, oh God. Every promise that you said, every promise that you made to us, we receive. Only you can do it. Only your word is unconditional. Only your love, only your love never fails. Only you, Lord. Of awe. Lord, I repent. I've used that word awesome to describe so many things. My favorite football team, my favorite pizza, somebody's suit or outfit or car. And then I come into your presence and sometimes I've run out of words. And even though right now, Lord, I feel very, 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 very speechless, I stand in awe of you. Lord, resensitize my heart to look at you and just gasp, lose my breath practically. Let me feel again, Lord. Let me see. Even just a glimpse of your glory, even just a flash of never be the same. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted high upon the words above the people of the earth. I see the Lord.
And welcome to Breakthrough Tuesday on Favor Factor Radio. This is your host, your boy, your prophet, overseer, Prophet Charles Briggs. I am excited to have you tonight to share with me on Favor Factor Radio. It's Breakthrough Tuesday, and I'm excited because I have someone sharing it with me that's a part of my ministry that now sits under me, and I cover her ministry. She's a spiritual daughter in the gospel, and I'm excited about it. I love her so much. Indeed, I do. Indeed, I do. Indeed, I do. And so I want to first welcome everyone back. It's been a while since we've been here on Favor Factor Radio, and I know that for some of you all, I've been getting a whole bunch of emails and inboxes. When are we having it? When are we having it? When are we having it? When is Favor Factor Radio coming back? And I wanted to give everyone a chance to spend the holidays with their loved ones. And so that's what we want. That's what I believe in. I believe in a balance in ministry. I believe in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I also believe in making sure that you're taking care of your responsibilities at home. And I'm so excited that you decided to join me back. Church by phone on Sunday was absolutely phenomenal. The lines were so booked and people were calling in from everywhere. And we are excited about the testimonies that came in. I'm excited about what God is doing in your life. We have experienced a mighty move of God through the ministry of PCBM Ministries over the course of the past few months, even through our end of the year prophetic encounter with God and Light Ministries and Dr. Ratliff. We just believe that God is getting ready to do something extraordinary for you, 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 and you, and you, and you again. Amen. In the year of 2015, I want to say good evening to all of you who are calling in today from 678. Good evening to you. 336. Good evening. Amen. 252. Good evening to you. Amen. 410. Good evening to you. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to be able to share with you tonight the word of the Lord concerning your life. Amen. The word of the Lord concerning your life on Favor Factor Radio. And so tonight I want to start off, I want you to understand something tonight, that you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. Why do you say that? Why are you always talking about seed? I'm talking about seed because it's seeds that have gotten some of you some of the things that you have never had before in your life. And it's the seed that you planted, and God remembered that seed of greatness. He remembered that seed that you planted, and that's why some of your family members are going to be saved this year because of a seed that you sowed. Hallelujah. And so I want to encourage you to continue to sow those seeds. Continue to sow into good ground. Continue to support Favor Factor Radio. Amen. And everyone knows that on Breakthrough Tuesday, we take a breakthrough seed. Amen. And God has shifted some things around. And I know that this is kind of dropping a little bit. But last year in 2014, we were taking those seeds of $25. But the Lord gave me different numbers this year. Amen. He gave me the number 2015. He gave me 215. And he gave me $20.15. And so I am propelled to tell you all tonight to pick one of those numbers. Amen. Pick one of those numbers and be a blessing unto Favor Factor Radio. Many of you have committed to sowing, continue to sow that $52 Favor Factor seed, and we absolutely thank God for you. Amen. We thank God for your support. We thank God for your faith. We thank God that you have chosen this ministry, this radio broadcast to sow into. And so to some of you all tonight, we are grateful for those $20.15 seed that you're going to sow tonight. I believe the Lord is going to do something extraordinary. It is impossible to sow a seed for breakthrough and you not receive a breakthrough. I want you to understand that God is going to honor your breakthrough seed. And so why are you saying this early? Because I might not get a chance, because I don't know what's going to happen on this line tonight. I don't know what the woman of God is going to say unto us. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to speak unto us. But I want you to understand that you got to sow that breakthrough seed tonight. Trust God that $20.15, $215, $2,015, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, I want you to know that God is going to bless your seed. How do I sow it? It's simple. PCBministries.com. Simply click on the donate button and follow those three easy steps, and we will get your seed. If you want to send us your prayer request, we are getting an overwhelming response of prayer requests. So we develop a system. A lot of times some of people send prayer requests through the website of other people, and you never hear anything back. Well, we are developing a system that one member of our PCBM staff team member, once we receive your prayer request, we're going to follow up with you. We're going to give you a call back if you request it. Amen. Some of you are just sending your prayer requests in. We print those out, and we lay on the altar. We lay on the altar. We lay on the altar in my prayer room, and we pray over those prayer requests, and we believe God is going to move in your life. I'm excited about it. I just know that God is getting ready to do something supernatural, something spontaneous. This is a week of spontaneous miracles, blessings, and favor for all of you who trust the Lord. And I'm telling you, you've got to sow that breakthrough seed tonight. $20.15, amen. It's not a lot of money, but it might be a sacrifice to some of you. It might be a sacrifice to some of you. And so we are believing God for you tonight. Amen. Before I bring on my guest, I want to share something with you, what the Lord was sharing with me, and it was how to unleash God's power of breakthrough in your life. And I know that some of you are saying you're facing difficulties, and I'm asking you, are you facing a difficulty or even an impossible situation right now? And if I was to take a poll, many of you would say yes. So perhaps you're facing a major barrier and you feel stuck. Anybody ever felt stuck? Hallelujah. It could be a relationship, an addiction, a lie you believe, a painful event. It could be a difficult work environment department where you're working, regardless of what it is, you desperately need God to dramatically intervene in your life right now. Does that sound familiar? I'm glad it does, and I want to tell you to welcome to the Breakthrough Encounter. These next 45 minutes are going to bless your life. Many of us are facing impossible situations right now where we need this kind of breakthrough in our lives, yet most of us sit and wait for God to make it happen, and then we wonder why it is that we don't experience breakthrough as often or as fast as we would like. And so what we need to know is that breakthrough is not something we sit around and wait for. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already commanded and already promised. I'm going to say that again. What we need to know is that breakthrough is not something we sit around and wait for. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already commanded and already promised. Breakthrough happens when we take the first step, the first offensive step against the barriers in our lives. Breakthrough happens when we say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that God is going to supernaturally do the impossible. I've already forestated that this is the week of supernatural. This is the week of spontaneous, hallelujah, where God is going to do something supernatural and spontaneous in your life. God does the breakthrough, but he's waiting for us to take the first step of faith, the first step of faith, the first step of faith, the first step of faith. He's waiting on us to take the first step of faith. We have to believe in God's goodness, that God has already willed the breakthrough for our life. Then we actually become agents of breakthrough. I want you to tweet it. I want you to post it. I'm an agent of breakthrough. My God, I feel like running right now. I say I want you to tweet it, and I want you to post it on Facebook that I am an agent of breakthrough. Glory to God. I am an agent of breakthrough. So we become agents of breakthrough, unleashing God's supernatural power to change our impossible situations in our homes and our workplaces and our relationships, etc. And so throughout Jesus' ministry, we see him unleashing God's power in impossible situations. He also appointed 12 young apostles and taught them to do the same. Hallelujah. How did Jesus teach them? He demonstrated the love and goodness of God in action by preaching the gospel of love and forgiveness, healing the sick, and setting people free from demonic oppression. Then he expected his disciples to do the same thing. And so Jesus' goal was to help them understand that they were supposed to be agents of breakthrough also. And so we find in the book of Mark chapter 6, we read that Jesus sends out the apostles to preach the gospel, cast out demons, and heal people, just like he did in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 12. And then later in the story, Jesus is teaching to a large crowd, over 5,000 people, when he asked the disciples to do the impossible. And so by this time, it was late in the day, and so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 35 to 37. And so Jesus expected his disciples to feed the thousands of people in the crowd, even though it was impossible for them. And that's because Jesus knew that it wasn't impossible for God. And so similarly, Jesus expects us to take on the seemingly impossible in our own lives. Why? Because God expects to do impossible things in us and through us. And so, how exactly does it happen? First, we need to look at what we do have and then give it to God in faith. And so Jesus knew the disciples didn't have enough food to feed thousands, but he asked them to bring to him the small amount of food that they did have, 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and he supernaturally multiplied it. I want to interject right there that God is getting ready to supernaturally multiply something in your life right now. I said that God is getting ready to supernaturally multiply something in your life right now. I said again, God is getting ready to supernaturally multiply something in your life right now. God wants us to consider what we do have. Then this could be our gifts, our talents, our experiences, and unique personalities. Then he wants to use us as an agent of change in whatever impossible situation we're facing. Hallelujah. Please text somebody and tell them that they are an agent of breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, we must believe that God is good, not just just intellectually, but really believe. We must be willing to obey him and embrace that he is willing to do the impossible in us, through us, for his glory, so that more would come to know him. No matter what you're facing, no matter what we're facing, no matter what your family is facing, God promises to show up in our difficult situations in a way that declares and reveals his glory and goodness. I want you to understand something, that God is about to release his unleashing power of breakthrough in your life. I'm telling you, you better get ready, because something is about to take place in the course of the next 40 minutes on this line. Something is getting ready to happen for you. God is about to allow something to happen that you couldn't even do for yourself. I'm telling you that I am an agent of breakthrough, and what we're doing right now is I'm creating other agents of breakthroughs on this line right now. God is getting ready to make it happen. And so without further ado, I bring to you one of the greatest daughters on this side of glory. She is a prophetess. She is a pastor. She is a woman of God, a woman of integrity. She is a woman of character, a class. She is a woman of extravagancy. Hallelujah. I love her. She's my spiritual daughter. Amen. And I celebrate her on the launch of Prophetess Regina Harrell Ministries. She is my daughter, Prophetess Regina Harrell. It is so awesome to have you on the line with me today. Are you there? Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Prophetess, are you there?
Yes.
God bless you. How are you?
God bless you. How you doing, Overseer?
I am absolutely fantastic. I was starting to get caught up. I had to bring that thing in, because when you start talking about breakthroughs, something just happened. You know, you just start hearing chains break. You start feeling yokes being destroyed. And I believe this line is for tonight. So somebody on this line need a breakthrough.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
So I want to ask you a question, and then maybe you can help us out and help the people out, and maybe we can preach this thing together. But, you know, I'm trying to hold my composure, because one of my sons, Brother Robert, said that you're going to come through here like a hurricane tonight.
But when you think of breakthrough, when you think of favor,
what does that mean to you?
Breakthrough to me means that I'm penetrating a obstruction that stands in the way of my process. You know, when people think of breakthrough, they think of it as this la-la experience that takes them up into a cloud of glory, and it's just this beautiful experience, and that there's no pain, and that there's no pressure, and there's no blood, and there's no scratches. But it's quite the opposite. If you are penetrating an obstacle or an obstruction that stands in your way, you're going to get some war marks. You're going to have some bruises. You're going to have some scars. You're going to have some evidence that you done broke through something. So breakthrough to me is that I'm moving any and everything out of my way that stands in the process of the promise that God has given me.
If you could tell the people of God how to receive a breakthrough, how would you go about telling someone how to receive a breakthrough?
The first step to receiving a breakthrough is that you have to get out of self. You can't go into the house of God or into anywhere saying, well, you know, when they call for tithes and offerings or sacrificial seed, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. And, well, that's the problem, that we're not doing enough. You can't go into the presence of God with a I mindset. And I generally share with people, back in 2005, that was when I experienced my very, 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 very first breakthrough. I had been beaten and battered. I was in a very abusive relationship. I don't know why. And when you're in a relationship and it gets abusive and there are kids or children in the home and you have to call the police, that the police automatically contacts DSS or Child Protective Services. So it was in the month of October, and I think they had came out. It's probably at a minimum of at least 10 times. And, you know, they came and they said, Ms. Butler, my name was Butler at the time. They said, Ms. Butler, said, we have to report these instances to Child Protective Services, and they're going to be on tomorrow. And so I was like, well, whatever. You know, y'all need to take him to jail because he the one doing something to me. And I'm just protecting myself and blah, 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 blah. You know, not knowing that God had a plan the whole entire time. And it's true to their word, Child Protective Services, they came and knocked on my door that next morning, and they said, Ms. Butler, you either relocate or we take your children into foster care. So that compelled me to move, to do whatever it was that they wanted me to do, because my children was all that I had left. So over there, we left Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with literally the clothes that was on our back and my car that only had two gears in the transmission. And I had to, I lost everything, my house, my car, clothes, like everything. I had to leave my own house to go to a battered women's shelter. And pride was gone. Like everything was just gone. And my spirit was so broken. And I was saved, but I was out of relationship with God. But that did not stop me from calling on him. And as soon as they put me and my kids in our room, because we had to go to Columbia, South Carolina, because it wasn't a shelter up here that could accommodate me and all four of my children without separating us. And I said, no, we're not going to be separated. So we had to go to Columbia, South Carolina. And
let me ask you a question.
I fell down on my knees and I said, Lord, I know I have not done right by you, but I need you on today.
Let me ask you something. When you were going through that at that particular time, you weren't even where you are now spiritually.
No, nowhere near. I was all
I'm going somewhere with that, but keep on going. I'm going somewhere with it, but keep going.
I was all the way out of relationship with him. You know, I wasn't in church. I had been clothed and bathing tradition because, you know, my father was a preacher. And so, you know, they didn't teach us about giving and about loving and about what giving will do for you. But I have always had a gift of faith that I just believe God, no matter what the situation or what the circumstance were, I believe that he could do anything but fail, and that was being out of relationship with him. And so I ended up at this missionary Baptist church. It was probably there for about 30 days, and I said, I need to go to church, because I was ashamed to go because I didn't want God to think I was going just to pull me out of the mess that I had created for myself. And I heard him say, go anyway. So it was a church that was in walking distance, and I ended up going. And, you know, it was a good service. It was doing all the shouting and stuff, and I didn't understand what it was. I said, my Lord, they acting like heathens, because I wasn't used to that. And then at the end of the service, you know, they pulled out these offering plates, and it was talking about, you know, now it's offering time, now it's giving time. And so I was getting ready to get up, and, you know, remind you, I told you about my car. It only had two gears in the transmission, and $2 was all I had in my pocket. And it was just enough to go buy another bottle of transmission fluid, because everywhere I went, I had to put in a bottle of transmission fluid. And so they said, you know, it's giving time, and don't get sad now, and all this, that, and other. And I was getting ready to get up and walk out, and my feet wouldn't move. And that was the first time that I have ever heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. It wasn't some cold, chilling experience. It was, he just said, try me. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. He said, try me. And so I got to looking around, and I was like, who is this talking to me? He said, because your car is going to break down anyway, so you might as well trust me with what you have. And you know, long story short, that is what I did. By that next Wednesday, my God, he opened up a floodgate that to this very day is still overtaking me. We was in a shelter with nothing. Christmas time was fastly approaching. I got a phone call that a woman had wanted to bless me with a house. It was a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house. The shelter wanted to give me a brand new Toyota Sienna van. It was like a 2001. It was new to me because my car had done broke down. But see, when I came out of church that night, it would start, but it wouldn't go nowhere. And I was like, man, I done gave these my last $2. I can't get no transmission fluid. And I said, okay, God, you said you know, and by that Wednesday, he had overtaken me, and that was my very, very first breakthrough. Like the city had got together and had sponsored my children's gifts. They had so many gifts that, like, I didn't have to buy Christmas gifts for at least 3 years because there was just an overflow of it. And gift cards, gas cards, clothing cards, you name it, and I experienced it, and God gave it to me. So now when I hear about giving and sowing, it's not foreign to me. God blessed me like that then because I was a baby and I was searching for him. But as we grow and we get stronger in him, then our accountability, it becomes more, that he's not going to bless me like that continuously, and I'm not giving him a reason to do so. I hear people say all the time, well, if I don't hear God do such and such, or if I don't hear God tell me to give it, then I'm not going to do it. Well, that maybe we should be doing something to compel God to speak, okay? Does he have to give the first word all the time? Can we compel him to speak? You know, because the Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. So if my sacrifice is pleasing to him, then I know that he's going to start speaking to me. And the Bible tells us that sowed a seed and reaped 100-fold in the same year, and God blessed him. So he reaped what he sowed, and God blessed him. So what he sowed was not the blessing. It was in addition to his sowing was his blessing. And that one seed broke the curse. It broke a curse. It broke the famine. And to this very day, the people are still benefiting. They're still benefiting from the seed that Isaac sowed. So I asked the body of Christ, what are you doing? And is your seed reproducing itself? And because he says that he gives seed to the sower, not the ground inspector. Yeah. You know, that's the problem. And we too worried about, oh, well, I'm not, because they got homosexuals over here, or Noah, he was doing such and such. And oh, no, that ain't none of your business. He says he gives seed to the sower. Our only responsibility is to sow. Amen. Well, that's not what the parable of the sower is, but it's what the parable of the wheat is. He says that let the wheat and the tares work together. Amen. Thank you, yes. Holy Ghost. And let it grow together until harvest time, and he will do the separating. So you can grow with me, but you can't go with me. So, you know, my seed, it does have a stopping point, you know, that you can grow up with me, but come harvest time, you got to let go, and you have got to release everything that's got my name on it. Yeah, you was here for a little while, but now your expiration date is front row and center. So I am a firm believer. I'm a firm believer in solely on the word and doing what thus saith the Lord, because it is in our obedience. And we can't walk up in the house of God talking about what we can and can't do and what we are and what we're not going to do. You have to completely, completely lose yourself. You have to have a situation, first of all, that is bigger than you. That situation that I was in, it was bigger than me. And God, he's not going to keep giving us, you know, grace and mercy and strength to do these things that he has already empowered us to do. He says that my grace is sufficient. We crying about the same thing over and over again. Can we cry out about something that is bigger than us? Let's cry out about something that we have no control over, none whatsoever. Then that is when God will begin to move. I just believe it. I believe it in the city of my soul. I believe it. Yes, God.
Oh, my God. Faithful. You're helping somebody, because I'm getting so emotional right now. I really feel like crying and dancing all at the same time, because when you get to a place, where you finally grasp what breakthrough is and how to receive a breakthrough, and so many people, I get so tired of people saying that it's easy for you to give a seed. It's easy for you to keep going to church. You don't have no children. Saying sacrifice and go to church. It's easy. But I look at you and I look at your life and I look at where you come from, and even when you started out with me, your children weren't as grown as they are now, and they were, you couldn't just leave them behind. But it was a sacrifice then, and all of that. God, you know what? I begin to hear God say, "I will break through for you if you will break through tradition." And so sometimes we got to break through tradition in order to receive a breakthrough from God. You had $2 in your pocket. $2 was in your pocket. You knew that if you didn't take that $2 and get transmission fluid, that your car was going to break down with your kids. What were you going to do? You were either going to trust God, like you said, or you were going to go by your emotions and your feelings. And going, and if you're trying to get a breakthrough, you got to come out of your emotions. You got to come out of your feelings. My God, I feel the power of God right now. You got to come to a place where you rely on God, nobody else, nothing else. You know how I know that? Because $2 and for, to somebody that might, now somebody might be saying, well, $2, that ain't nothing. $2, that ain't nothing. But that was what you had, all you had in your pocket. And from that obedience of you giving that $2, it caused a house, a car, it caused furniture, it caused all of those things to come to you. When you were you had nothing. You said something that blessed me, and I heard the Holy Ghost say to tell somebody that their lack has just now got their expiration date. And I heard the Lord that came and say, sickness, your expiration date is here. Disease, your expiration date is here. Hurt and pain, your expiration date is here. But you know what? It can be here, but how do you obtain it? Come on here, Jesus. Your expiration date can be here. The milk can have the expiration date in the refrigerator, but you never remove it. It can sit in the refrigerator. Come on. But it takes activity in order for you to go in the refrigerator. And what's happening is some of us are keep going to stuff, and the expiration date is on there, but we're not using any activity to get rid of it. So we're not going to receive a breakthrough. My God, from Zion. But Prophetess Regina Harrell, I hear the Holy Ghost tonight, and He is saying that if we would use activity, if we would use our faith, then the expiration date just don't have to be looking at us in the face, but it will be removed. That thing will be removed from us.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, run. Thank you, God. And that is the absolute truth. That is the absolute truth. You know, and we sow seeds. You have people that they sow seeds, and then that's all that they do. And we think that that's it. We don't have to plow the fields, or we don't have to reach nobody. I've come down here and I've made this sacrifice, and I don't have to do nothing else. No, you still have other responsibilities. You got to get junk out of the way. We can't put new wine into old vessels. Then we got to clean up some things, and we have to make room for our break. You see, I had room to receive everything that I received because I was in an empty house. It was nothing in there. And God filled it up. But that one moment changed the rest of my life. Have I had hard times since then? Well, of course I have. But it changed how I think. It changed my mind. It changed how I look at storms. It changed how I view Christ and my relationship. When I come into a storm now, I'm like, okay, this is getting on my nerves, but it's another opportunity to please God.
Right.
And as long as He's pleased, I'm about to run. As long as He's pleased,
I'm
that is
you.
A good day. Oh, God.
I'm telling you.
I'm
sitting here and I'm looking at how full this line is, and my heart begins to become somewhat heavy with people who look at circumstances presently but can't see the bigger outcome. In order to have a breakthrough, you got to see yourself breaking free. You got to see yourself breaking through. And you can't just allow the enemy to play in your mind. I think I was talking to one of my sons this week. I was talking to him and I was telling him that in order, sometimes we have to remove ourselves from situations that cause us to come and just sit and think about stuff, and we become so idle. Our minds become idle. The enemy starts to play in our mind, and so we can be on this phone right now, Prophetess. We can be on this phone right now when somebody right now was feeling good. Somebody right now was rejoicing. Somebody right now was saying, "I got my breakthrough." But no sooner than we get off this phone and they go sit in their chair and their recliner with their cup of coffee, the enemy gonna start talking. And so in order for you to keep your breakthrough, you have to feed your spirit. You got to continue to walk this thing out. You got to continue to say, even if it don't happen today, tomorrow is still coming. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes I think when we seed and we give offerings and we give sacrificial offering, we expect God to move right then. We expect God to do it the next day. And sometimes God does move like that. But you know what He does? And I was telling another person, I think it was the same son. I was telling him, we were just having church on the phone. I was telling him, I said, God remembers. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And so what happens is all those sacrifices, they go into a storehouse. We have our own personal storehouse. I'm going to run.
Yeah.
I'm going to run.
Run.
I'm
going to
run
go
up
ahead,
out this prayer room.
Ahead.
We have our own personal storehouse. And so for every seed that we sow, sometimes God does not use that seed automatically or the next day or the next week. He stores it because it's going to come a time where we're really going to need it.
Oh,
because
my
right
God.
Now we could want it. But we don't need it. Come on here. And so what he does is he remembers that, you know what, Briggs? You stored something about a year ago. Let me go back in that box from 2014 and remember that seed that you sowed a year ago. I'm going to help somebody today because God remembered a seed. Oh, my God, he had to remember a seed for me because today I needed something done. Completely forgot about it. Wasn't done intentional. And so I think people automatically look at prophet and they automatically look at those of us with these titles, prophetess, and they say, we got it all together or y'all got it so you can give it. The devil is a liar. I'm human.
Liar.
I live just like everybody else live. I forgot about something that needed to be done. My God, today, received two phone calls. The Lord supernaturally done it that quickly. With Anna in a matter of seconds, but that's because I'm not just a one-time giver. I'm not just a one-time sacrificer. I sacrifice all the time. I make sure
that
I'm a blessing to somebody, prophetess, every single day that I live. Oh, my God, if you're with me, people walk with me, they will tell you. I make sure that I bless somebody every single day.
Every day.
In return, God is going to remember that seed.
He always does. There will never be a time that he does not remember your seed. I know you take care of the people. And if the kingdom ever gets to that place of where you stop looking at pastors and prophets and people in ministry, oh, well, you got to know we probably go through more than the next person because we're carrying our burdens and the people's burdens at the same time. But as you grow in God, as you grow in Christ, it will become automatic that I want to be a blessing to my leader or I want to be a blessing to the house because we don't go into the grocery store with nothing. We don't go into Macy's or into Haynes Mall without any money in our pocket. Even if you window shop and you go in there to check for something that you want so that when you come back, you're going to have some money. So we need to stop coming to the house of God empty-handed. Even when I don't have it, I will go get it from somebody just so that I can have it because God has blessed me in my giving. And because that's where God blesses me, that will always be where the enemy attacks me. And not just me, but you, and you. And I just want to prophesy to probably about 10 of you that you think that what you have right now is not enough. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, take what you got and run with it. Because if the woman... If the widow woman, if she had that mentality, then her little cup of corn that she gave would have meant nothing. But Jesus told her that her offering was more than everybody, and that gave thousands of dollars in offering. One, because she gave all she had. And when you give all you have, then that means that you have nothing else left but your faith. And again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So once I give up my last, I'm giving you everything. That's worth more than everything in the whole wide world put together because I'm giving everything. And when you get to that place in God where you think, hey, it is not about me. It is about being a blessing to our leaders, being a blessing to the ministry. Because if the church, I heard somebody say the other day, well, if the church is supposed to be a hospital, then, you know, why are they turning people away? Because they won't file their insurance. Okay, that's why you can't come up to the hospital and get any treatment. No, you want the doctors to come out, but the doctors are not being appreciated. The doctors come in, diagnose you, give you a prescription, and what you take it and you put it up in your glove box, you put it above your sun visor. You don't follow the instructions. God will always give instructions, and he will always follow through. So it never falls on God. It lies on us. What are we not doing to receive what God has promised? If he promised it, he's going to do exactly what he said. So then I start praying about other people overseer, and I begin to pray about myself. God, show me. Show me where show me where my hiccup is. Then that's when he started showing me my attitude. He started showing me my character. He started showing me how I haven't really forgave the people that I said that I forgive. And then I wonder why these same situations keep on coming back up. He says it's going to keep coming back up until you get to the root of it, until you really forgive from the root. And I said, oh, my God, that's going to take a whole lot of pain. But there's always a process in the pain. And not only a process, but a purpose.
Yes.
And not only a purpose, but a promise. I want the promise.
I want the promise.
Yes, God.
I want the promise.
Yes, God. And
oh,
I hear the Lord.
You know.
But you think that what you have is not enough. But if you take what you have and just run with it, sow it, give it to God and let him multiply it. I'm saying that was back in 2005. And here it is, 2014. When I tell you that God has restored me over and over again, I done messed up, I done screwed up, I done threw seed away, and he still came back. He was like, oh, no, we're not getting ready to go through this no more. I have not been without a roof over my head. I have not been without food in their mouth. We have clothes on our back. Do I have everything that I want? No, but it's right here at my fingertips. You know, God is teaching me something. Awesome husband that supports me in everything. And remember, see, I was married to too many other people. God couldn't send him until I had let all the other people that I had soul ties with go. Because I couldn't be treating him one way and have him paying the cost for what other people did to me, because I was not set free. I was not set free, and I kept trying to give pain loyalty. You know, and when I tell you that God has restored me, he has blessed the ministry. He has blessed people to come into my life. I'm getting calls that's just completely blowing stuff that I had done forgot about. And I just, woman, God, I just want to be a blessing to you. God is right on time. And when you use what you have, my God, here he comes with the increase. Because he says that Isaac reaped what he sowed and the Lord blessed him. So not only are you looking to reap a harvest, but you should be looking for God to add an additional blessing. And that is what 2015 is. In addition to what I'm going to do to you already, this is what's going to happen. And it don't have to always be money, because it's not happening with money for me now, obviously. It's like favor, that we don't even need money. You understand what I'm saying?
Uncommon
favor. Going into the grocery store, and somebody had walked up to my spine. It was about a week or so, and it was like, here, and it gave him a $5 bill. And I was like, oh, Lord, boy, you put that on the grocery bill. But that's just everywhere we go, God shows himself mighty. And we have to get to a place where we don't, where we have to stop thinking that we're going to live this attack-free life. Look for the attack. Get your weight up and box back. Box back. Why spend so much time fighting a defeated foe? He's already defeated, but we give him so much power. Oh, the doctor said.
So much power.
Oh, what they said. It don't matter what they said. What did God say? He has the final say. He said that by his stripes I was already healed. He promised me that I was the good of the land. He promised me that I was the head and not the tail. He promised me that. Oh, my gosh, thank you, Holy Ghost. And he promised you that to people of God. And we hold on to his promises the way we hold on to these
laws.
We would be better off as a kingdom and as a people. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, I love the Lord today.
God, that same, I don't know who needed to hear that testimony of your breakthrough, but I'm telling you, some mother on this line right now, hallelujah, is getting ready to receive that same breakthrough in their household right now. Now,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am, I'm telling you, there's a mother on this line, and they're going to receive the same breakthrough. But here's the key: they got to do what you did. They got to do what they took. You took your little, and God began to make it much. I'm telling you the truth. I just know that God is not a God that does not care about our present circumstances. He cares about our present circumstances. He cares about the circumstances from yesterday. Come on here.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about the circumstances that we're going to face throughout the rest of this week. But the key is this, that God is not going to leave us where we are. He is going to break through for us. And I prophesy over this airwave right now, and to those of you who are listening via the internet, what you're getting ready to see happen is what you have just sown for. I'm going to keep saying it. We was in, Prophetess, you was with me on last Wednesday night when we were in our end of the year prophetic encounter.
Yes,
and the Lord began
yes.
to prophesy through me. And you remember when I was prophesying to the lady gave the Lord gave me the lady's name and concerning her pantry ministry.
Yes.
And it was called the Lighthouse. You remember
right,
that?
Right, right. Yes.
Well, I received an inbox from her, and like on the this was the earlier part of this week, and she sent me a message that she one of the businesses here in Greensboro had given her a card for over $300 to come and get stuff that they needed. But it didn't stop there. She sent me another message on yesterday that somebody donated $150 more to the food pantry.
Oh,
how did that happen that quick? How did it happen that quick? Do you remember what I asked for? I asked the people to give, I think it was what, like $25 on Wednesday night? Wednesday night, seed, it was, or $30, I think it was $30. I said this was the last $30 seed that we're going to receive this year. God told me everywhere I went last year to challenge the people to give $30. Well, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. She was people. All of y'all who gave that $30 were the last person to sow that $30 seed, but God's ready to make you first. He didn't even stop there. There was a young lady in the church. I prophesied to one side of the church and said, the Lord said, that the God's getting ready to cause people to call you back. Hallelujah. Getting ready to call you back from jobs that you applied for months ago. And you know what? I got a phone call that came to pass. Two phone calls, that it came to pass that quickly from a $30 seed.
God.
It's not the seed. It's the act of obedience. And when you do it not complaining, when you do it not complaining, God blesses you unselfishly. He don't just give you a blessing, but that's when a miracle and a breakthrough happens. When you do it without complaining and stop smacking your lips and shaking your head and you just doing it just because the prophet asked for it. And I know if I don't give it, he going to say something. The devil is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing it unto me because I don't have your breakthrough. I ain't got your miracle. It ain't locked up inside me. You're keeping it locked. Hallelujah. But
that's
I'm telling you, brothers,
my God,
we got like 9 minutes left. God's going to do something spectacular. And so what I want you to do right now, Prophetess Harold, is prophesy and pray and release a prophetic word over the people and pray over the people's lives that breakthroughs are not coming, that they're already here.
Yes, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we know that you are worthy on tonight. Oh, God, we know that you are God that is able to do anything but fail. Oh, God, your hand is not shortened that you cannot reach down into our present situations, even so right now. And, God, you are not burnt out that the miracles you've done, Lord God, back in the old days are not the same miracles that you can do even so right now, oh God, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, yes, God, I prophesy over the people right now that what they have in their pockets shall be more than enough to take the region and more than enough to take the territory, more than enough to satisfy the bills inside of their homes and more than enough to cause food, to be in that cabinet, so God, I pray right now that their mindset shall change, that they'll not think about what they're doing, oh God, but just continue just to give unto you and to continue to press their way out of the place that they're in, that they can find freedom in you, oh God, and no longer be held up by captivity, oh God. I bind the hand of the enemy and all of his works, off of their generation and off of their lineage, right now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that they shall be givers, oh God. Give us unto you and give us unto the ministry and give us unto their own homes, oh God.
Oh,
God, and we thank you now that your word will never
maybe
well,
it was.
If there is a need, see, you will make a
no,
way.
No, no,
oh, it shall be the gateway that overflow runs through. It shall be the mountain that overtakes over in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We decree, Almighty Lord, we decree that be so, that we are the leaders and not the before. I would be proud.
Woman of God, my daughter, my prophetess, you can prophesy, you can speak a word into my life any day. I want to absolutely thank you for joining me tonight.
Well, thank
so
you
much,
for having
I thank
me.
You.
Oh, I thank
you
for
coming
having
back
me.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, well, Jesus. Praise his name.
So much that you're coming back next Tuesday. This is absolutely,
yes,
you know, it does my heart good. You're a daughter of mine, yet you definitely have my prophetic spirit, amen. And this is what I like to see, children and sons and daughters, amen, carrying what's been imparted into them. And I absolutely love this, that I'm on the air with my daughter. We speaking the same thing, living the same thing, have different testimonies, but God is the same. He's the same God that broke through for you.
Praise
is the same God.
God
that broke through for me. Oh, my God. And so I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I love you so much. Thank you for the oil that's on your life. Thank you for the anointing. God, everything that you've decreed for the people of God, I decree it back to you. Hallelujah. I decree right now that even before Thursday gets here, that God is going to supernaturally manifest himself in your life. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You shall not lack anything. You shall not lack anything. This is not the year that you shall lack. People of God, I want you to understand something. I made a declaration on last year before the year was out, and that declaration was my account will never go into the negative, and I will never borrow another dime from anybody ever again in my life. And somebody said, well, you shouldn't have said that. The devil is a liar. God did not call me to be the borrower. He called me to be the
Come
lender.
On.
And so
yes,
I made that declaration, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Amen. I will not borrow money from no source, from nobody. The devil is a liar. I will not be in debt. I will not get in more debt than I'm already in 2015, every seed that comes to me is going to be given to me. You need to make that declaration. I'm telling y'all, people of God, y'all better make that declaration. Every seed that comes to me is going to be given to me. I will borrow it. No. The devil want to keep us in lack. He want to keep us in debt, but this is not the year that we shall go through it. Hallelujah. What you need is in your seed. Come on here. Hallelujah.
Oh,
and God is getting ready to do it for those persons that are faithful to him. He's going to remain faithful to you. So I am encouraging you today, people of God, you, those of you who said, I received my breakthrough, I got my breakthrough. Hallelujah. I'm holding on to it. God bless you. I want to hear about it. I need you to go to my website when you get your breakthrough and send us your testimony. Amen.
Yes,
if you want us to pray with you concerning your breakthrough, go to the website. Send us your prayer request. Hallelujah. I want to call a young man's name out by the name of Earl. Hallelujah. We received his name the other night. Amen. From Baltimore. And I want to call his name out that God is going to supernaturally change and shift his life right now in the name of Jesus,
a new
creature in Christ. And we decree and declare that he will not go backwards, but forward momentum shall be in view for him all the days of his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what God is going to do in the next 2 days of our lives. I feel it in the next 48 hours. Glory to God. I feel a turning in my spirit. That God's going to do something in the next 48 hours. Who is trusting God with me tonight? Amen. I'm trusting God with you. I'm believing God that you're honest with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank all of my supporters and followers who are keeping Favor Factor Radio on. We're looking to expand. Right now, I am in the process of looking for a building to become a studio. Amen. I'm not sure what area yet, but I do know that God is going to bless it, and so I'm in need of your continued support. So go to the website, pcbministries.com, click the donate button, and send us your donation. Don't forget, this is Breakthrough Tuesday, and we're praying over your breakthrough seed. Prophet Harold, if you will stay on the line with me for 1 second, amen. God is going to supernaturally bless all of your lives, amen, until tomorrow. Somebody say tomorrow. Amen.
Tomorrow,
tomorrow, tomorrow. We are back here on the air live. Live again tomorrow. I think we're at 6 or 7 o'clock. I can't remember the time on my own radio show. But keep a watch out on Facebook for us. Amen. Many of you are supporters and followers of this ministry, and I greatly appreciate it. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Until next time, may the Lord God bless you real, real good. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening. It's a new season, and it's a new day. Come on, Martha, tell us one more time.
Hallelujah. 'Cause it's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, fresh anointing. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power. And prosperity, yes it is. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
with many generations represented in it. There's some seasoned veterans and there's some young folks. And maybe some of you weren't raised in church all your life, so maybe you might relate to what we're saying here a little bit better. If you remember the words of that prophetic song by Diana Ross.
Hi, Aaron.
What's she saying, Monica?